It may well be very interesting for many friends to hear how we view this depression of human beings or where we see the cause. After all, we see not only the outer human being as they are. We see their inner life, their dispositions as well as their tendencies. Based on this, we are able to get a better picture of a human being, and, if it is beneficial and healing, we can also foretell something about their future. You have sometimes asked yourselves, why can't these depressed people be helped? Fortunately, today you have psychologists. They look for the cause of the affliction. But sometimes they look far astray, on a wrong path. Indeed, they are unable to do otherwise, especially those who do not believe in life after death or in reincarnation. They have a particularly hard time in fathoming such an affliction of the soul. We, however, are able to see this affliction in the depths of the soul. I will now try to explain to you how the spiritual world deals with those brothers and sisters who have a depressive disposition. Of course, this is not done in the same way as it is among you, but in human life one can draw inferences from spiritual work, from what the higher beings utilize when working with their suffering brothers and sisters. I must emphasize, it is unfortunately the case that there are still so many souls who suffer in the world beyond. They suffer because they are so far from the blissful world. They cannot enter bliss because they carry burdens, because they are ascending from below and are not yet able to truly experience full happiness. When such burdened souls return from an earthly life, they must then go through this painful purification. But, also now, it depends entirely on the mindset, on the attitude of the individual being. You should not think that there is no sadness in the spiritual world, that there is only good cheer, and that all brothers and sisters are always at one. It is a world that has as many different personalities as your world. It is a world where as many opinions are held as among you in your world. Thus, there are spirit beings who are full of energy, full of confidence, full of hope, and with this hope and confidence they are able to more quickly overcome much unpleasantness. But there are also those who cannot do this, because they complain and ask why, just as often as human beings do, those who always have an if and a but, who have no understanding and always believe their opinion is right. In the world beyond, too, so many different characteristics come to expression. When a spirit being returns with a great burden, they will accordingly have to go through a sorrowful, painful purification. This purification, and hence also the pain, is of long duration. In the spiritual world we do not have the concept of time that you human beings have. You who are able to calculate and visualize when told, it lasts for this or that amount of time. You are able to keep count, but for these ascending spirits in the spiritual world there is not this measurement of time. So they live in pain, and they do not know how long the pain, this purification, will last. But they must bear this pain. You have already been taught about this on various occasions, and I assume that you also understood it. But when someone has to bear such pain, they are also given comfort when it is time. It is exalted spirits who bring this comfort and who help them bear their suffering and ease their condition. And how do they comfort their brothers and sisters? They talk about the future, about a better and more beautiful world that will also open its doors to them, to these sufferers. It is therefore a matter of overcoming this time of suffering, of living for the future, of hoping. Many souls are thereby better able to get through their suffering. If an unhappy spirit clings to this hope, then additional spirit brothers and sisters will always go to support them and help them bear their suffering, and they will comfort them and explain that it will surely not last much longer. Thus, this painful time passes more quickly for those who live in hope. There are beings, however, who can do nothing with this hope. It does not get through to them. They do not understand the word hope, because they feel disowned. They feel only the suffering they must bear that is the main thing for them. They cannot free themselves from this great pain, they are unable to understand these comforting words, unable to hope they are unable. And because they are unable to do so, they become sad, apathetic. This sadness and apathy penetrate deep into their mind, seizing the soul and taking root, and they will not dissolve, they will not detach. If a spirit being does not come to better insight in the spiritual world, then they will also lack these insights when they enter human life. You, however, now know that the high spirit world has the possibility to assign an earthly life to the brother or sister in question, in the hope that they will make gains. So, these brothers and sisters are prepared for a new life. But you can imagine that a spirit ascending from below takes many other burdens with them into life, and that this sadness has filled their soul's innermost. And, when reincarnation has taken place and the human being has grown up, these maladies and this sadness surface once again. Yet, as I emphasized at the beginning, there are distinctions to be made. One person may only have tendencies toward something. If such a human being was willing to hope at that time in the spiritual world but still did not manage to overcome, then tendencies will have been in existence, they still lacked the strength. These, then, are tendencies that come to expression in human life. On the other hand, such depressive predispositions can be so strong that one can no longer speak of tendencies. They manifest so acutely as to be an affliction that a human being has taken with them into life. This, however, is not to be confused with disturbances caused by other beings, namely, when human beings are beset by evil spirits. We draw a distinction here. In the case described, the soul continues to be afflicted in human life because balance was not achieved in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world there are heavily burdened souls who bear their purification with dignity, who are full of confidence and full of hope, and they find balance, they gain something for their forthcoming earthly life. Those who manage to overcome can consider themselves fortunate. But now to human beings. I told you that in the spiritual world these sick beings are comforted, and they are given support in that they are made aware of the joyful and blissful future that is to come and that will allow all suffering to be forgotten. The fact that Christ is also referred to in these comforting words and teachings will certainly be understandable to you. I cannot explain this so well with your concepts, because you have other concepts, your concepts are of a heavier nature. There is much you cannot understand, it cannot be explained to you in detail. But I would like to explain and tell you what is meaningful for you. You are spiritual friends, you strive for spiritual merits. You wish to do whatever lies in your power. Wherever you have a particular strength, be that of a physical or a spiritual kind, you wish to bring it to expression. And that is good. But a human being's entire thinking is very often limited when it comes to their willingness to help. It is of course something wonderful when a human being can place themselves in service to another. There are so many different ways to do this. And, if they are of goodwill, every human being will certainly find a way to do their duty in service to others. There are many ways. What I have to tell you is how one can support those people who are sick in soul, what one can make them aware of if it is at all possible to cure this sickness of soul. You may think, God has the ability to resolve every affliction. Of course, that is so. But particularly in the case of a soul affliction, it is of great importance that the person concerned plays their own part in resolving it. Fellow human beings can support a person who is suffering in spirit and soul. Some of you, friends, will say to yourselves, "Yes, I sometimes suffer from depressive moods as well," or, "I have particular memories or thoughts that I just cannot dispel." But even if you have such things, you can hardly speak of a soul affliction. Weaknesses of soul will surely be in existence, and you should first be able to overcome these weaknesses in yourself. Only when you are able to overcome your own personal weaknesses can you approach fellow human beings who are sick in soul and be a meaningful support. Now, when spirits of God support their suffering brothers and sisters, they point to the future, to the blissful life that is to be attained. In the case of a human being who lives so fully in the material world and is caught up in it, one cannot speak about the beautiful future, because they are simply unable to look so far ahead. They only ever see their suffering. And it is now a matter of supporting such a human being who is suffering in soul. You yourselves have already made the observation that when you experienced a disappointment, or lived through some suffering in soul that you were not so easily able to overcome, you were sometimes able to forget it by seeking a distraction. You yourselves sought distraction. When you abandoned yourselves to such a distraction, you were able to forget, and you no longer brooded over it. This is good for a human being if they have a soul affliction, if they tend to depression. For if they are simply unable to live a meaningful life because they do not grasp it and are unable to experience it, then they walk the wrong path and burden themselves. They do not find the courage and strength for the higher life, in the way that the high spirit world recommends. One cannot demand the same from a weak human being, from one who is ascending from below, as from a spiritually strengthened human being. Thus, human beings must also have the resources to bridge their suffering, so that their soul can recover a little, so that they no longer brood and no longer devote themselves to burdensome thoughts, thinking only about their suffering all day long. Human beings have so many possibilities to distract themselves. We have already indicated this. Generally speaking, human beings can be told, if you take pleasure in music, then seek consolation and forgetfulness in music. Perhaps it is something else that comforts and brings forgetfulness. It may be singing, painting, or dancing. Life can acquire a different meaning through such an activity. But there are people who have no affinity for music, no particular affinity for art at all. So it is rather difficult to advise them on how to occupy themselves, that there will certainly be something worthwhile for them, too, with which they could give their life some meaning. If a human being is given an activity that captivates them, in which they find joy, then they will have less time, or no time, for brooding, and they will also find distraction. So, everyone who has such tendencies that burden their soul should search for what captivates them, for what would give their life more meaning and more joy. We try to draw your attention to such activities. One person could, for example, collect stones, completely ordinary stones that perhaps especially catch their eye, in whose shape or color they find pleasure. Just like someone who collects precious jewelry or other precious objects, they can create a collection of these ordinary stones. Why must it always be precious things, things that are only precious in the eyes of human beings and yet transient? You can collect things and devote yourself to things that give life meaning but that need have absolutely no material value. Human beings must be able to separate themselves from this way of thinking that only defines things as precious when they are of earthly, material value. Things can have a spiritual value. You can find such stones along the path when you go to work. Or you will certainly come across such a stone when you go on an outing. It's just a stone, a human being says to themselves. A stone is worthless to them. It is worthless to the human being who is bound to this earthly matter, who is taken in by the gloss offered by the world. If you collect these completely ordinary stones, you may notice some next to each other that are completely different. And then you can begin to research. You must make an effort to do so. There will certainly be books that give information on the substance and composition of such a stone, how it came to be, and so on. And on this path you will discover much of value by engaging with these stones that are worthless to human eyes. Indeed, you even come a little closer to eternity, you come much, much closer to it than were you to collect things that are of significance to the world but that are transient. These completely ordinary stones can say a great deal to human beings. So, that is one example of what can be recommended, engaging with stones. Much that is instructive and meaningful unfolds from it, and great conversations can be cultivated with friends who have the same occupation. A person who suffers in soul should be motivated to find such an activity, that is, they should concern themselves with something other than their brooding. But perhaps stones do not appeal to them. There are also other things with a wick.